We welcome you all, brothers and sisters, from far and near, to have part in our joy, which is also heavenly joy in this morning, to share with us the joy of our church. May all be in prayer to God, that God may help us, that we may accomplish what we have according to his will, and to be to his honor and to his glory, that God may hear and listen and answer to our humble prayers. I also like to say to those who are outside the fold of Jesus Christ, to take this moment and hour where you will see very seriously, we see how some people take care of themselves and take the soul salvation very seriously. We are thankful to God, and God, by his grace, still keeps the door to salvation open. We invite you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, come and follow.
Before we open the word of God, let us all bow our heads in prayer. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, from the depth of our hearts, that thou hast given us the privilege and the opportunity to come together in thy house of worship. Father, this day has been set aside to come and to sit at thy feet and to listen what thy Spirit and thy word would have to say unto us. And Lord, may we all, believers and unbelievers alike, open our hearts unto thy Holy Spirit and unto thy word, that thou wouldst be able to speak unto us and tell each one of us, Father, what thou wouldst have us to do. Let not one go from this place of worship without having been spoken to directly by thee. Father, we rejoice over one sinner that repented and converted and now, Father, is ready to be added through baptism to the family of God. Lord, but we also sorrow on the other side to see the many that have still not accepted, have actually rejected salvation in Jesus Christ. We bring all before thee, lay it at thy feet, O Lord, leave it all in thy hands, would do our part. And Father, we ask thy blessing upon all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to, with the help of the Lord, read the usual scripture passage that we read for such an occasion. And we find that in the book of Romans, chapter 6.
Fratele, aflat ca să citească cuvântul Dumnezeu care și se cuvine la asta sfântă lucrare, epistola apostolului Pavel la Romani, în capul al șaselea. Brate nașu, da procita, coiei pripa, da nouă svetăm de elu, reci gospodiu, Roman, izrimlene epostolanița apostola Pavla, în șeste glavă.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should, so we also should walk in newness of life. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, he servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed that form, that from the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and became servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have read, I believe, to most of us that are here this morning, a very, very familiar word. Looking over you, I'm very, very thankful that there's also many of you here to whom it is not familiar. For those of you that are familiar with this word, forbear with us, God's servants, that we may expound that portion of the word that is perhaps not familiar to many of you. Brother Ed mentioned in his prayer, when he prayed for those that are still in confusion and in darkness, and he laid the blame for that in the right place, the adversary of our souls, the devil. My loved ones, who would here admit this morning that he or she is confused? I know I didn't want to admit that. And sometimes we don't even realize we don't know what we're doing. We don't even see that we are confused. This sixth chapter that we have read tells us who is eligible to be baptized. What does baptism stand for? I'd like to ask you a question this morning. Have you been baptized? Do you understand baptism? The Bible, the Word of God, is many, many things for us in this life. And one of the many things is, it is a road sign of life. Road signs are found in the Bible of life from here to eternity. The adversary of our soul, which was mentioned in our prayer, that causes confusion in the lives of all mankind, knows that if a person follows the book of the Bible, he will be eternally saved, and the end of his life, God will accept him and take him into heaven. But the Bible must be followed exactly, just like road signs. The devil, knowing this, does not come and say there is no heaven. He does not come and say don't be baptized. He says, yes, there is a heaven, and just be baptized and you will go to heaven. How many of you sitting here tonight, this afternoon, this morning, that were not here this last night, will not be here this afternoon? Of you can say, I have been baptized. Your mother and father took you, perhaps when you were a week old, to church and baptized you. Is this baptism valid? Last night we asked Susan if she was baptized once before, and she says yes. Does that baptism stand? No. Based upon the Word of God, my loved ones, the signposts that point the way to heaven, this is what the Bible is of many things, the devil, the adversary of our soul, has turned them around. And he doesn't say don't be baptized. He says be baptized just as quick as possible. Just when you're a week old, be baptized. I hope and pray this morning that there's some of you here that hear it for the first time. Do not be content with that. The Bible says that you must die to sin. You must be separated from sin, and you must be then baptized in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus Christ was resurrected by the glory of the Father, so you should walk in newness of life. If you have been baptized and you walk in the old life, the Bible here says that you are a servant. I'm not saying that. The Bible says you are a servant of sin. Excuse me. Let me make this plain to you. In the language that the Bible was written, there were over 75% of the population of the world slaves. Replace this word servant, not what we think today. I go to work in the morning, and I'm the servant of my employer. In the evening I go home and I punch out, and I'm my own person again. That is not what the Bible here says. The Bible refers to people that were totally possessed by their master. They even were taken as far, they could be bought and sold. They had no rights. They even took the master's name. Their parents were slaves, their children were slaves, and their grandchildren were slaves. And their masters totally owned them from morning till evening. They had no personal property, they had nothing. They were owned by the master. They obeyed the master in every way, shape, or form. This is a comparison, a parallel that the Bible draws between spiritual and the physical, between the spiritual, between the lost and the saved. And we have read several times of servants in the 14th verse, in the 16th verse, the 20th verse, and so on. My loved ones, all of us, whether we had believing parents or not, we were born into sin. And we were the servants of sin. And every one of us, before we were baptized, admitted that to God. Confessed it and acknowledged it to God and before the church that we were slaves to sin. We had no control of ourselves. In fact, that is the first step towards being freed. And my loved ones, go back into slavery when how slavery was practiced. There was not one slave that had the price to pay for himself. He had no means to free himself. There were three steps to freedom. First, someone had to pay the price for the slave. And my loved ones, in ages past, and a little over 100 years ago, was practiced in the U.S., in the Deep South. Slaves were sold, and mostly on an auction basis, on a weekly and monthly market. The slave was sold from master to master, from sin to sin. In the spiritual, admit it, my dear friend, is where you're going. You have no control over it. The adversary of your soul owns everything of you. The slave in the physical was taken to the market by his master, and there was a price set on him, and another master came and says, I give you $10 for it, and I says, I want $12, and they bargained and may have settled for $11, and those were gold dollars. They were a lot more than what they are today. More. And then he just simply changed master. He went from one master to the next master, and he was a slave again. My loved ones, those of you that are outside the fold of Jesus Christ, admit, is it not so in your sinful life? Susan admitted it last night. I admitted it over 30 years ago. On one side, I try to do good, only to find myself into two deeper sins. How many of you are trying today to quit drinking? To quit using the name of the Lord in vain, and you only find yourself getting loose from one and you're in the other one? How many of you are trying here this morning to quit the habit of drugs, alcohol, smoking? There is no freedom within the slave market. Now, my loved ones, here comes redemption in the slave market. Sin, ye obeyed from the heart that doctrine which delivered you. You need deliverance. There is a deliverer. A price needs to be paid. That is step number one. Admit that you can't pay it. You don't have it. The sinful habits that you have, all of us together with all our resources that we have, could not free you from those sinful habits. You are a slave, bound, chained. There is one knocking at your heart's door that now wants to free you. He can pay the price. He can pay the penalty. The penalty is the wages of sin is death. It is Jesus Christ that can pay the sin, that can pay the debt, that is the Redeemer that can bring you. The next step is step two, out of the slave market. It does you little good for someone to buy you and sell you again the next week and next month and next month. And you will die in slavery. The majority of the slaves died in slavery. The majority of the sinful people today die in sinful slavery. You need to be bought out. And the first thing that Jesus Christ will do to you is to bring you out of sin. Step number three is to set you free. After Christ paid, after you have come out, Christ will set you free. My loved ones, slavery in everyday life, just a little over 100 years ago, still existed. Pay the price, brought you out of the slave market. Very few slaves were brought out of the slave market. And then the master said, you are free. You can go anywhere you want to go. And no one can bring you back into slavery again. Let me give you an example of a true story that I read of an actual happening of a slave auction in the down deep south a little over 100 years ago. When the slave market was over, there was one young, and I've used this before, one young teenager did not know how old he was. He did not know where his parents were or nothing. Someone just couldn't use him anymore, brought him to the slave market. And I just use a round figure. I do not exactly know the figure. The average good, healthy slave sold for around $10 and $12, gold dollars, on the slave market. When the slave market was over, there was this one young cripple, half blind, limped very badly, badly undernourished, deep wounds and scars, very little strength, could hardly be used for anything. The auctioneer walked up to him and just bumped into him and says, stand up. It took him some time to get to his feet and shakily stood there and fell back down. And the auctioneer said, who will give a quarter? Quarter. Hardly anyone was there. Finally, someone says, well, I can use him a little around the house. Maybe there I can help him. Maybe I can heal him a little bit. Maybe later on I can bring him back to the slave market, make a little money. Someone gave a quarter. The auctioneer says, who will give 50 cents? Finally, someone came and gave 50 cents. The auctioneer says, who will give 75 cents? 75 cents. No one was there. A well-dressed gentleman with his cane walked up to the auctioneer and said, here is $100, and laid it on the table. Total silence fell upon the market. What is wrong with this man? This man is not worth it, this young teenager. What is wrong with him? What is he doing? What does he want with him? My loved ones, outside of the fold of Jesus Christ, what do you look like this morning to God? Is the price of his only begotten son that he paid for you, are you worth it? He's laying it on the table. He laid it on the table 2,000 years ago for your soul to redeem you. What are you saying this morning? You know what that wealthy man said to that crippled slave? He was handed the title of the slave. He filled it out and he signed it. And he said to that young man, I have taken you out of the market. You're paid for. You'll never have to return. You are free. And you have my name. The slave always took the master's name. He says, you are a free man. Go wherever you want to go. You know what that young crippled ex-slave said? Master, I'm not going anywhere. I'm following you. Where else could I have it better? Whom are you following this morning, my dear friend, outside of the fold of Jesus Christ? Words fail me to express the love of God for your soul and for your spirit. The deliverer is knocking at your heart's door. The Apostle Paul, who understood this very well, said to the Galatians in the first chapter, let me read verse 3 and 4. The third verse only leads into it. Listen very close to verse 4. He writes to the Galatians, reminding the believer, us now, brothers and sisters, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he may deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. The Redeemer, the Deliverer, is Jesus Christ. Christ gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this present evil world, because this present evil world is condemned to eternal death and destruction and separation from God. A question again. Are you baptized this morning? Does the baptism stand before God? Is it scriptural? Whose slave are you this morning? Whose servant? Don't ask the brother in the back or in the front of you. The Bible says, whom you obey from the heart and what you practice is whose slave you are. If you live in sin, doesn't say if you've been baptized when you were a week old. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants unto righteousness and to holiness. When ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. When ye were the slaves of sin, and tell me if it's not so, if Christ hasn't freed you, taken you out of the slave market of the sin and freed you, freed to follow him. My loved ones, there is no other way. God himself has no other way to deal with sin but only one way, and that is the cross. And you've heard me say it before, the devil has twisted that around. And the devil has no objections if you hang a cross around your neck. The devil has no objections if you wrap the cross around your hands and you say so many prayers. Just don't get on the cross and be crucified, because that's the end of your sinful life. And only he that is crucified and is dead to sin is free from sin. There's only one here this morning that is joining that family that has been crucified. And my dear brother, my dear sister, if you're ever looking for trouble, if you ever want to look for trouble, just step off of that cross. And the devil will unload plenty of you. He will ask you to ask for your rights, to be treated right, to be spoken to right, to do this and to do that. Pride will come back into your life. Arrogance will come back into your life. Everything. Stay on the cross. Look at a crucified man that is crucified, that is dead. See how many rights he has. See how proud he is. See what nationality he belongs to. See what he wants to be. See if he wants to be up front or in the back or whatever he wants to be. All that is gone. The cross is the answer to sin. God says so. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians that he is crucified, nevertheless he lives. When Jesus Christ took his sins, my sins, upon himself, and they became his, The only answer that God has for his only begotten son was his was the cross. Are you baptized? Have the road signs been twisted around on you? Are you following the wrong direction? If you are, you're going to wind up in the wrong place. And after this morning, you will have no excuse. The cross wrapped around your hand and saying prayers is not going to save you. The cross around your neck is not going to save you. And oh, my loved ones, go to the cemetery. Go to the cemetery. And look at the tombstones at the places where people are buried. I venture to say on every one of them you'll find the cross. That's too late. The devil has won the victory if that's the only time that you'll come in contact with the cross. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. The only way God can deal with you is to crucify you, your old sinful nature. And here's the grave. For all of you to see, Susan this morning is going to step in. Leave the old behind and start the new. If I have made mistakes, if I have left things out, if I did not speak as the Spirit directed me, you will have an excuse. But after I sit down, and the other brothers are going to do the baptizing, and after it's been read to you, what you have seen will either bring you closer to God, and you will finally come through by His grace in repentance and conversion, or you'll remember that day. If not sooner, you remember that day when Susan stepped into the water. In all eternity, God will say to you at the day of judgment, do you remember that day what you have seen? Why is there only one here? The road signs have been turned around. Let me just, in closing, go back to Thursday night's message in Mansfield. We had the 15th chapter in St. Mark, where Pilate and Christ came face to face. The Jews wanted to crucify Christ. Pilate wanted to release him. Pilate could not release him. He bargained. And finally, there was a prisoner by the name of Barabbas that was on death row. Because in an insurrection he killed someone and the law demanded that he die. The people demanded that Barabbas be released and Jesus Christ be crucified. The people won out. And Barabbas was released and Christ was crucified. I like when I read that at home in private to stop there and close my eyes. That's wonderful. I've made many experiences like that. And to draw a picture of a prison, of a dungeon, a murderer is in there. The guard comes. And he knocks at the door and he says, Barabbas, are you here? Come out. Barabbas is probably shaking, saying, this is the end, I'm going to the cross. The guard says, Barabbas, someone else is taking your place. Jesus of Nazareth is going to die in your place and you're going to be freed. My loved ones, outside of the fold of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is knocking at your heart's door this morning and saying, John, Jim, Mary, you are a slave to sin. Jesus Christ took your place. You're on death row. You need not die. According to Galatians that we have read, it is the will of God that you should be free. picture yourself for a moment and saying, hearing Barabbas saying to the guard, I'm not so sure if I'm not too young. Maybe I want to get a little older here in this prison. You say, oh no, he didn't say that. Are you saying it? Is it possible that Barabbas was on drugs or he smoked or he drank? And he said to the guard, well, wait a minute. I want to enjoy that a little longer. I've got another sports game to watch. I'm going to watch the gladiators and the lions fight a couple more games before I take the opportunity to come out of this dungeon. Barabbas didn't do that. He walked, most likely, right out. Why don't you do that this morning, my friend, outside of the fold of Jesus Christ? Christ took your place. What excuse do you have? Why is there only one Susan here this morning? Why isn't both rows full? This side is completely empty, young men. Where are you? Talking directly to you, the Spirit moves me that way. Can you sing, redeemed? To be redeemed, someone has to pay the price for you. You're a slave to sin. Three steps out. Paying, freeing you, taking you out of the sin market, and then freeing you under the new name. Don't even carry the old name of your sinful master anymore. The Lord Jesus Christ will give you a new name. You will be named after him, Christian. What a beautiful name. There's no name on earth like it. The name that I have is a heavenly name. Why do you bear the name of one that is going to be destroyed when God wants to offer you his son's name? Christian. Well, why not come? Why not today? In the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 28, from verse 16 on through the end, we read the instructions that the Lord had given to his 11 disciples after he resurrected and before he went to heaven. Here we read these words. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. These words have been spoken to the followers of Jesus Christ to be followed. That we should baptize all nations. And oh, how wonderful it is when there is a place where all nations are called unto. And Susan, you have answered that call to come into the church of God. And you have testified last night and have made your covenant last night with God. And this morning we want to obey, as God's servants, God's word, to bury you in the likeness of Christ, and you would resurrect to newness of life by the glory of the Father, just as Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. And we are also commanded to teach you to observe all things whatsoever has been commanded, in the entire book of the Bible. Do not leave the teaching and the instructions of the Word. That is not the end now. That is the end of the old life and only the beginning of the new life. You still need to come under the instructions of the Word of God. You still need teachers, and the Lord has provided teachers, and you need to come to church to listen to the teachers and to us that teach, brothers, whether it is elders, ministers, Sunday school teachers, parents. God has promised us He will always be with us. Jesus Christ will always be with us, even unto the end of the world. And my loved ones, we very well might be very, very close to that. And we certainly can say, God is still with us. Susan, is it still your free will, as you have testified last evening, that you would like to be baptized in the death of Christ? Yes, it is. No one has persuaded you. You realize and you know what you're doing, and you're doing it because God has commanded you to do it. Susan, that lays the responsibility upon us, and we shall proceed. It is as simple as that for all to see. It is as simple as that to obey God. You have obeyed God. We, His servants and the church, want to obey God. And if we leave it all in God's hands, it will be well with all of us.